do a teaching about healing today, and I'm probably going to challenge the thinking of some of you, maybe, maybe not, but when you leave here today, I believe you'll have a better understanding of God's will concerning healing. Every place I go, I hear people tell me, it says, well, if it's God's will to heal, how come everyone isn't healed? Today, I believe I'm going to be able to adequately answer that question for you and put it to rest once and for all time. Opening scripture I'd like to use would be Isaiah 53:5. As always, I'm not going to use any notes. I've got my Bible. That's all I need. I believe I can be led by the Holy Spirit to get through this and get to the crux of what He wants to say here today. Isaiah 53:5, it says, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Now you notice I circled my Bible the word our, because this makes it personal for me. For our iniquities, for our sicknesses, mine in particular, He bore them. With His stripes we are healed. Can anybody tell me the word are, is that past tense, present tense, or future tense? That's present tense. Could it be that prophet Isaiah knew something in his day that we still don't know today? I would be willing to bet the prophet Isaiah didn't have a sick day in his life because he realized he is healed. This was centuries before Christ Jesus went on that cross. Centuries before He took the stripes. And yet, Isaiah says, by His stripes we are healed. Present tense. I find so many people talk about their sickness. My arthritis, my diabetes, my heart disease, my lumbago, my this, my that. They're laying claim to something that they don't have to have ownership of. Everybody tells me, well, everybody gets sick. Well, I have news for you. Everybody doesn't get sick. It's been 18 and a half years since I've been sick with anything. And I'm going to tell you why that is. It's not because I'm some holy man of God. It's because I took God at His word, hook, line, and sinker. You know, we talk about being into the keeping of the Sabbath and keeping the commandments. I want to tell you something. The Lord dropped this on me when I was getting dressed this morning. I have never given it a moment's thought. For years, I kept the Sabbath. For years, I paid my tithes. I kept the commandments. And you know what? I was dying of cancer. Why? If it's truly God's will for me to be healed, why was I dying of cancer? Well, I was until that day in July of 93, I gave the Lord in earnest my heart and asked Him to be my Lord and my Savior. And I'd been going to church and I'd been keeping the Sabbath and I'd been paying my tithe. And I thought I was already committed to God. But I found out something that day. I just didn't know enough. He sent me back to my seat with Psalm 103 verses 2 and 3. And it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Hallelujah. And I says, Lord, I believe You're my Savior. I believe that You died on that cross for my sins, and You were resurrected the third day, and I receive You, and I have received You as my Lord and Savior. Does that mean You're going to heal me? He says, Jerry, I've already healed you. I said, Lord, You could have fooled me. I'm sick. I was just like everybody else. I went to church and I was sick. And I was too hard-headed or misinformed or just plain dumb to realize that the price had already been paid for my healing and I wasn't walking in it. Was that God's fault? No, it was my fault. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish but all come to repentance. Tell me, is everybody going to be saved? Well, no. But yet it's God's will. God paid the price for our salvation. But yet, many will neglect that salvation. I think it's a pity to be lost when your ticket's paid for your being found. Now, in the New Testament, I'm thinking about 1 Peter 2:24. Let's go over here for just a second. 1 Peter 2:24 repeats what Isaiah said. It says, "Who him, his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." The word "were," what tense is that? Past tense. If Isaiah, centuries before Christ, says we are healed, looking ahead to Christ and calling it already done, calling those things that be not as though they were, and Peter says, "By his stripes ye were healed." Well, tell me something. If we were healed and we are healed, doesn't that settle it? Do we believe? Well, kind of. And the reason I say kind of is a scripture comes to my mind about Matthew 10:8. Let's go there. I want to share something with you out of that. Matthew 10:8. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he made a suggestion here. We look at it as a suggestion, but it was written in the imperative tense, which was a command. He says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. Freely you have received." Is that word "have" past tense, present tense, or future tense? Have, past tense. Do we believe? I don't see anybody going out there raising the dead. So we kind of believe. But there has to be a boldness to lay hold of the command. We don't seem to have a problem with keep the Sabbath. Yet the same Jesus of the Sabbath told the disciples, we're disciples today, or we're supposed to be. And he says, heal the sick. Now, here's something the Lord dropped on me a few years ago, and it changed my ministry. One day he told me, "Jerry, you're doing something I didn't tell you to do." And I says, "Lord, tell me, and I'll repent quickly." And he says, "I didn't tell you to pray for the sick, Jerry." And I says, "Lord, you told me in 1993 you'd given me a ministry in healing." He says, "I said, heal the sick, don't pray for them." And he gave me Matthew 10:8. Well, that kind of shook me to my very core, because I'm realizing now at this point, as a disciple of Christ Jesus, and if everybody sitting in this church here considers themselves a disciple of Christ Jesus, this command's for you. Yeah. Not just me. God has healed thousands for me. And it's not because of what I am, it's because of what I do. I take God at His Word. You know, I'm just a simple country boy. If Jesus said I'm healed, then I'm healed. I'm not going to argue with the God that created this universe. I figure this, He has never got me up in the morning, not one time that ever says, "Jerry, will you help me run the universe today?" Never has happened. So I figure God knows what He's doing by Himself. He doesn't need my help. But He does need my cooperation. He does need my obedience. He needs your obedience. But obedience doesn't come about until there's belief. And obedience doesn't come around and come about until we're convinced what we've been told to do is truth. Well, I was reading a couple days ago a pretty long passage in Luke, and I'm thinking it's in Luke 24, and I'm going to go there, and if I'm wrong, I'll correct it. But it was when Jesus was talking to the men on the road to Emmaus after He was resurrected. And I'm going to go over there, and I'm pretty sure that's where I need to be. I'm going to start. Yeah, this is it. Verse 13, I want to start there. I'm going to read quite a few verses here. "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about a 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know Him. And He said to them, What manner of communication are these that you have to one another, as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered unto Him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And He said unto them, What things? They say to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying, they had also seen a vision of an angel, which said he was alive. Certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said to them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures of things concerning himself. You know, this tells me something, that we can be fools, slow to believe all that the prophets have written. Oh, we believe the Sabbath, and because we believe it, we obey it. We believe the commandments, so we obey it. And yet our Lord has redeemed us from sickness and disease, and we don't believe it. Do you know how I know we don't believe it? Because there's many among us sick. Don't buy the lie that because you're getting older, you got to be sick. You don't have to be sick. I'm getting older. I've got gray hair or two somewhere. And I've not been sick since I was a young man. But I was sick continually before I got hold of that scripture. I had a running doctor bill, but I never really ever got it paid off, because as soon as I'd get one office call paid for, I was back in another. I lived that way for 45 years. Something changed that day. The light came on. I believed God. I took Him at His word. And I grabbed onto it like a drowning man does a life preserver. And I held onto it. I would not turn loose. Does that mean I've never had an opportunity to turn that word loose? Oh, I've had plenty of opportunities. I've had plenty of times the devil has tried to afflict me with sickness. You know what I do? Get behind me, Satan. I am redeemed from sin. I am redeemed from sickness. I don't have to put up with your junk. I don't have to put up with this junk. You don't have to put up with this junk. You have been redeemed. When are you going to act like it? Oh, but the doctor said, I don't care what the doctor said. What does the Bible say? This is the Word of God. Now, if somebody told you, don't keep the Sabbath, you tell them, no, I'm going to obey the Word. But if somebody says, well, you got cancer and you're going to die in 6 months, what's your response? What are my options? Well, you know, my case, 1993, the doctor just gave me the best advice of my life. He says, go home and get your affairs in order. And I did. I had gotten God's Word and I wouldn't turn loose of it. And to this day, I'm reaping the benefits thereof. And I'm no better than you are. I am just a simple country boy. If God said it, I believe it. You know, I had this minister friend that he used to say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And the last time I heard him say that before he passed away in an old age, the Lord says, Jerry, that's not entirely true. And I says, well, Lord, I've never heard Brother Higgin ever say anything inaccurate. And he says, Jerry, I said it, and that settles it. Well, he said that he's not willing that any should perish but all come to repentance. That settled it. Well, up to the point where God gave man free will to make choices. We have a free will whether to receive salvation, receive Christ Jesus. We have free will whether to receive the healing that's already been bought, paid for in full for every single one of us. There is not anyone here that can offer me an excuse why they should be sick when their health has been purchased in full. Now, I'm speaking rather boldly to you because I love you. I'm speaking boldly because I know who guarantees the promise. He doesn't lie. I'd like to turn over to John chapter 20. I love the book of John. Chapters 20 and 21 are probably my favorites in the whole Bible, I think. But let's go over to John chapter 20. I think that I would like to use maybe verse 18, starting there. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that He had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at even, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said, "Peace be unto you." Man, I could just see that. They're all in a room locked up. And all of a sudden, here's Jesus. Where'd you come in? How'd you get in here, Lord? And when he had done so, he showed them his hands and his feet, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." And you, and you, and you, all of us. Send us with what? With the message of the gospel. Words? Words are cheap. Demonstration is what Jesus did on a daily basis. What we should be doing on a daily basis. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." You know what happens when you receive the Holy Ghost? You become a different person. Even in the Old Testament, like when King Saul, when the Holy Ghost came upon him, he turned into another man. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, it should change you. Into what? Into his image. Into his will. Into his likeness. Into his purpose. Oh, here's a good one. Verse 23, "And whosoever sins you shall remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained." Have you ever thought about that? You know, you have the power to forgive sins. So many of us get caught up in the cycle of offense. Somebody said something we didn't like. Somebody taught something we didn't agree with, and we get all offended. You think the power of God can work in you when you have offense? Not a chance. Guarantee it. Forgiveness is the whole axle on which the wheel of salvation rotates. You know, the Lord says, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against others." In other words, we're saying, "Oh God, don't forgive me my sins unless I forgive all those that have sinned against me." Oh no, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. It's conditional. Salvation's conditional. Verse 24, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus," which means double-minded, "was not with them when Jesus came, and the other disciples therefore said to him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" Oh my goodness. Is that any of us? "Oh, except God heal me, I will not believe." Receive is always preceded by believe. Mark 11:24, for example. "Believe ye shall receive them and ye shall have them." Believe comes before receive. I didn't get my healing until I believed. I didn't receive my healing until I believed. Not before. Until. Whatever it is you need from God, you're not going to see it until you believe it's done. You can't have salvation until you believe. And when you believe, you're going to act on what you believe. You're going to start walking in obedience to the Scripture. Part of the obedience to the Scripture is not being sick anymore. Well, I don't control that. Yes, you do. God already did His part. Your part's to believe it and start acting like you believe it. "And after 8 days again, His disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, 'Peace be unto you.'" Shalom. Shalom, y'all. Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Hallelujah. Now how did Jesus know to say that to him? He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're saying. Don't think you can go hide in your basement and close the door to your pantry and get in there and say something. Jesus doesn't know what you said. He knows your heart. "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book." And here's something important. I want you to get this. "But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." You know, Jesus talked in John 10:10 about Satan. He says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly." You tell me, is cancer life more abundantly? Is arthritis life more abundantly? Is being sick with a respiratory disease life more abundantly? Is it life more abundantly if your hands and feet are crippled up and you can't move them freely? That's not life more abundantly. That means a thief's been to your house and you know something? You've let him steal your health. Well, God says if we repent of our sins, He'll forgive us. If we repent, we change our thinking. I came back off my deathbed. Doctors gave me 3 weeks or less to live. You know, they say you can't stop a freight train doing 100 miles an hour in 20 feet. Yes, you can. You put a big enough rock up against it. The rock of my salvation, Christ Jesus, stopped that cancer in its tracks. You can be healed, and you can be healed right now, today, and you can stay healed. And I don't care what the devil throws at you. You can be like a piece of Teflon and just slide right off of you. How do I know that? Happens to me every day. It does not matter how long you've been sick or how bad you've been sick. God has the cure. Let's turn over back to John chapter 5 for a minute. John chapter 5. There's a story that comes to mind to me about the man at the pool of Bethesda. Oh, I see us in this. I saw myself in it. We'll just start verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made a whole, of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time, wouldn't you say? When Jesus saw him lie, he knew he'd now been a long time in that case, and he saith to them, wilt thou be made whole? Now I want you to pay attention to something here. The Lord Jesus is asking you, he's coming to you with compassion, with mercy today. It says in the Bible, and Jesus moved with compassion. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40, about a man who was a leper, and he says, he was moved with compassion. He touched him and healed him. He says, I will be thou clean. Well, okay, here he says, Jesus saw him lying, knew that he'd been a long time in that case. Wilt thou be made whole? He's asking you today, will thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, says, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Wrong answer. What was the correct answer? Yes, Lord. No, this man gave an excuse like we give excuses. Will you be made whole? Well, the doctor says, well, you know, my mother had this. Well, it's hereditary. Well, this. Well, come on. God's not asking you for an excuse. He wants an answer. Will you be made whole? Yes or no? The impotent man answered him, gave him an excuse with compassion, with mercy. Jesus said to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. Whoa, this man had been sick 38 years. Oh, he's too sick to be healed. He's been sick too long. Oh, I've had this arthritis too long. I've had this hernia too long. I've had these migraines too long. I've had all these things. Come on, quit with the excuses. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. His word is forever established in heaven. And immediately, that means pretty quickly. That means like as soon as you want to get out of here and go eat. Immediately, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now what's the purpose of Sabbath? To rest. To be free of your burden. Would you like to be free of your burden today? The healer's in the house. It ain't me. It's Christ Jesus. Whosoever will you be made whole? No more excuses. This is a new year. We make resolutions, new year. You know, why do we make resolutions? Well, to make a change, to do something different. Today, on the Sabbath, with the healer in the house, will you be made whole? Praise God. Praise God. Any of you want to be prayed for? You know, I won't say pray for, because Jesus didn't say to pray for the sick. That's a misconception in church. He said, heal the sick. He's here. Receive your healing. Don't put it off anymore. Don't let the devil lie to you anymore. Today is the day. Oh, I'll be healed someday. Show me your calendar. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, someday? Ain't there, folks? Today, receive your healing. Praise God. Praise you, Lord.